in the precious name of Jesus, who gives us his care and calls us as his children to live for him always. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to turn to our text for this evening, a reading from 2 Timothy. I don't know that we find ourselves for sermons that often in 2 Timothy, but we encourage you to look at 2 Timothy, beginning with chapter 4, starting at the first verse. These are the words that God would speak to us this night. Actually, as these words were first penned, they were penned, as Pastor noted, as he introduced the reading of the lessons, to an older pastor. That older pastor was the pastor, the evangelist, Paul. And Paul was writing to a younger pastor, Timothy. Paul had come to the point in his life where he knew that the end of his earthly ministry was coming. He knew that the end of his earthly life was coming. And so as he knew these things, and as he spoke to his protege, to Timothy, he spoke to him words that he hoped he would remember, that would burn into his mind, his soul, his heart, that they would be impressed upon him in such a way that his ministry, his going forward, would be touched by them always. I believe that those words are words for us to hear as well. Again, in his introduction tonight, Pastor said, these are the words of Paul to Timothy, but they're also God's words to us today. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. If you're a visitor with us tonight, we encourage you to take one of the Pew Bibles with you if you don't have one at home, so that these words can touch your heart, your life, in the days to come. May God bless us to that end. What Paul tells young Timothy is that he needs to preach, he needs to teach, he needs to be above all things in the Word. Now, at Paul's time, what was that word? Well, much of the New Testament hadn't been yet written, or at least if it had, it was in letter form, going from much of it in the New Testament, Paul's writings to the church in his age and time. What Paul would have been speaking to Timothy about was preaching the Old Testament, preaching the Word of God. Here's a Hebrew scroll for you. And Paul was saying to Timothy, be a man of the Word. Be in the Word. You be in the Word, and let the Word be in you, so that all your preaching, all your teaching, is founded on it. Paul knew very well that from the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, Jesus was preached. Not by that name in particular, but the coming of the Messiah. Throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the golden cord through all of the scriptures is Jesus. The Old Testament pointed those folks to the fact that the Messiah would come. And Jesus is that Messiah who would come to be the Savior of the world, recorded first in Genesis chapter 3, the coming of the Messiah. And through all of the Old Testament, and then into the New Testament words of Paul, also the message of Jesus. The Old Testament pointed them forward, and the New Testament points us back to that same Messiah, who did come to be the Savior of the world, your Savior and mine. And what Paul tells Timothy is that he should preach that Jesus. He should preach the Word, God's Word, in season and out of season. So to demonstrate that, we've got the spring season and the winter season, and every season in between. In other words, Paul was telling Timothy, be in the Word and let the Word be in you, so that always you're speaking God's precious Word. Not philosophies, not ideas that you come up with, not what you think is important, but instead God's Word. Let God speak through you as you preach and teach, so that it comes out of your pores, so that as people see and hear you, they know who you are and whose you are, and they know what you're about. You're about the things of God. Let your preaching and teaching be such a flavoring that it touches lives around you and makes a difference then and always. He encourages Timothy to do that because of what he says first in our text. He says tonight in our text, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge to preach and teach." What Paul was telling Timothy is it's all about Jesus. As you think about Jesus' death on the cross, as you're reminded of his rising from the grave 3 days later, the forgiveness you have and that which belongs to all the world in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, preach and teach. Let them know about the message of God. In the appearance of Christ, since you know that he will come on the last day as the judge of all people, for that reason, preach and teach. And as you do so, remember that he is coming and appearing again, and he will come with him, bringing his whole kingdom, his eternal kingdom. Because of these things, preach and teach, be in the word, and let the word be in you, and share the word with others, with everyone. As you do it, he says, do it with patience and do it with care. Do it patiently because not everyone sees or hears and understands. Do it with care so that you can apply the Word of God as it fits best in everyone's situation. It's like the doctor who does surgery. It's like the doctor who uses medicine or precise procedures. Do so carefully, skillfully, so that the Word of God will accomplish exactly what God intends and desires. We would say as good Lutherans, preach and teach the Word of God in all its law and all its gospel, with all its power that condemns and crushes sin and then raises up and gives new life. In our text, Paul says it this way, use the Word of God carefully, precisely, patiently, as you correct. Here's someone correcting a test paper. When you correct something, when God's word is used to correct, it's to point out where there are errors, where there are mistakes, so that those mistakes can be changed, so that something can turn around and be made right again. Use God's word to correct. Secondly, Paul says, use God's word to rebuke. Here's somebody with a scolding finger. And I looked up rebuke in Webster's dictionary. I actually used a book and not the computer. And what Webster says about rebuking is that it's sharply to reprimand someone. The idea, the intention, is that they see what's wrong, the correction, but that they forcibly be changed so that the right thing is done and said and accomplished. God's word does that. The law corrects. The law sharply rebukes and calls us back to what's right. But the Word of God also lovingly invites. And that's the third term that Paul uses, as we use God's word to encourage. It woos us to him. You see, the law never accomplishes our salvation in and of itself. The law never gives life. The law always crushes, always rebukes, always corrects. But then when we recognize our need, we recognize the Savior. And that's the encouragement. That's the love that comes from God's word as it's preached and taught. And Paul was telling Timothy way back then, you need to do these things because he said the days are coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, with sound teaching. If it was that way for Paul and for Timothy, what about today? Do you think the day has come when people don't put up with sound teaching, sound doctrine? Absolutely. I think about what God's word says. What Paul tells Timothy is that there will be challenges, and the evil desires of mankind will cause them to crave something other than what God's Word calls us to. Think about the desires. Think about the cravings today, the desire to follow after false teachings. What about abortion? What about homosexuality? What about sex outside of marriage? What about gay marriage? What about syncretism? That's a fancy church word that means all religions end up going the same way. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe, it just matters that you believe something strongly. These are false teachings. And what you hear and see today is exactly what Paul was talking about, what God inspired to tell through Paul to Timothy, and what God inspired Paul to speak to us today. These days are coming, and they are here. And what God encourages us to do is to remember to be in His Word and let His Word be in us. Paul tells Timothy, and Paul tells us, that what will happen in these days is that people will gather around them all sorts of false teachers who will give them what they want, those itching ears. They desire to be scratched. They want what it is that they want. They want their desires filled and those false teachings taught. And there are false teachers. Even in our community, there are false pastors who've said in all of these issues I've just mentioned, come to our church. We invite everyone. We don't judge. Well, we don't judge here either. And we invite all to come. But not to come and stay as you are, instead to come to hear God's Word, so that God's Word, as it's preached and taught, will in fact correct and rebuke and encourage, helping us to be and to live for our Lord Jesus Christ, to be disciples, followers of Jesus. That's what His Word calls us to do. There are false teachers these days, false pastors, and politicians and others who will give to the masses whatever it is they want to hear. Don't you hear that in this political season? Instead of standing for the truth. And that's what God calls us to do. Because He says, surely, what people will do is they'll want to listen not to the truth, but instead they'll turn from the truth so that their ears will hear lies. Their ears will hear the myths that they want to hear. Those myths in our text mentioned are the law, the lies, the false teachings. Whatever it is you want, whatever makes you feel good, whatever you desire, follow those things. After all, it's like God is this grandfather in the sky who looks down, and we may be naughty, but He just kind of waves and passes it by. That's false. That's ungodly, and it's untrue. It's against what our text teaches us tonight. Our text tonight, as pastors picked it for this weekend, speaks to those who are pastors in our church. And it speaks also to those who are teachers in our church. And we recognize pastors' years of ministry in the ordained ministry and also in ministries before that. We're thankful for that ministry and the ministry of others who serve in this place. God gives this ministry, this preaching and teaching of the Word, to His people in such a way that it can go out to all the world. We've talked recently, and in some of your families, we've been talking to you about your children, about boys and girls who could be raised up as pastors and teachers, to hear this Word of God from Paul to them as young pastors and teachers, that the Word may be in them and them in the Word, so that others all over the world will hear. But these words are not just for professional church workers. They're for all of us. God calls all of us in this place to be in His Word and for His Word to touch and permeate us and to percolate through us so that in all our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, we may be that leaven that leavens the lump, that we can be the yeast that makes a difference in our worlds and in our places. It's a blessing to be in ministry here. I did some research. Actually, I asked some of the ladies in our office to do some research for me this week in preparation for the sermon. We have some 45 staff members, pastors and teachers and DCOs, DCEs, others who serve secretaries and janitorial staff in the ministry of this place. Do you have any idea how many combined years of ministry these 45 represent? Well, I don't know if you'll guess, but some 681 years combined in their work and efforts together. We must have started when we were 3 or 4 years old, some of us. It's a blessing to be in this place, a blessing for God's Word to be in us, and for God's Word to work through us, to you, and then in you and through you, wherever you go as God's people. What a joy it is to be in ministry, to serve the Savior, to preach and teach the Word of God in season and out of season all the time, morning and afternoon and evening, so that others might see and hear and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Paul told Timothy, and Paul tells us, that as we're in this work and as we face the challenges that we do in our world, the cravings and evil desires that are sometimes within us and are certainly all around us, there are 4 things we ought to do. The first of those is keep your head. Let your mind be filled with Christ Jesus. While all the people around you are falling apart, while all sorts of difficulties may come, keep your heart and mind focused on Christ Jesus. How does that expression go? When all others around you are falling apart, keep your head? Well, maybe it is because we don't always know what's going on around us. But Jesus calls us to keep our hearts and minds in Him. Secondly, He encourages us to endure hardship. And certainly those hardships come in our own lives, in our own experiences. And I tell you, they will come increasingly in the world in which we live. We will suffer because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Endure hardship. It's what God calls us to and promises to carry us through. Thirdly, He calls us all to be evangelists, to be sharers, spreaders of the good news. That was Paul's word to Timothy and God's word through Paul to you and me, to be speakers of the gospel, to share the law and especially the gospel so that others might see and hear and believe. And above it all, the foundation for it all is service to the Savior. As these days we find ourselves in, as the days grow, be in service to the Savior. And may God give you joy and peace, strength and courage to hear Him speaking to you in a way that guides and comforts, encourages and directs you as you serve the Savior in season and out of season. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, the one we joyfully serve. Amen.